ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीराय नष्टप्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यां भागवत
सेवाय
भागवतीर्थं श्लोके
भगवाजीयोचनाश्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके For sadhana Srimad Bhagavatam is your very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisance of the personality of God in the man, of the Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, of the Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and of the Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering services unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome and hard is practically destroyed almost to nil, and transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental hymns, comes into being established as an irrevocable fact. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, text number 32. Munayo chu,
kova
mihai cha bhagava paricharayo chas.
Kova mihai cha bhagava paricharayo chas.
Tadaminam nivashatam vishay. Vishamasvabhava
Tadarminam Nivishatam Vishamasvabhava
Tasmin Prashanta Purushe Gata Vigrahevam
Tasmin Prashanta Purushe Gata Vigrahevam
Kuvatma Vatkukayo Parishankaniya
Kuvatma Vatkukayo Parishankaniya.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The sages said, who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality? Even though they are posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord, how are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into this kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of Him? Probably these two persons are imposters. Therefore they suspect others to be like themselves. Please repeat. The sages said. Who are these two persons? Who have developed such a discordant mentality. Even though they are posted in the service of the Lord.
In the highest position.
And are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord. How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into the kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of Him? Probably these two persons are imposters. Therefore they suspect others to be like themselves. Prabhupada by Srila Prabhupada. The difference between the inhabitants of a Vaikuntha planet and those of a material planet is that in Vaikuntha all the residents engage in the service of the Lord Himself and are equipped with all His good qualities. It has been analyzed by great personalities that when a conditioned soul is liberated and becomes a devotee, about 79% of all the good qualities of the Lord develop in his person. Therefore, in the Vaikuntha world, there is no question of enmity between the Lord and the residents. Here in this material world, the citizens may be inimical to the chief executives or head of state, but in Vaikuntha there is no such mentality. One is not allowed to enter Vaikuntha unless he has completely developed the good qualities. The basic principle of goodness is to accept subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sages therefore were surprised to see that the two doormen who checked them from entering the place were not exactly like the residents of Vaikuntha Loka. It may be said that a doorman's duty is to determine who should be allowed to enter the palace and who should not. But that is not relevant in this matter, because no one is allowed to enter the Vaikuntha planets unless he has developed 100% his mentality of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. No enemy of the Lord can enter Vaikuntha Loka. The Kumaras concluded that the only reason for the doormen's checking them was that the doormen themselves were imposters. Muraya uchu kovami haitya bhagava parichaya yochais tataraminam nivishatam vishaymas pabhava tasmin prashanda purushe gata vigrahivam kovatma vat kuakayo parishankaniya. The sages said, who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality, even though they are posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord? How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into the kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of Him? Probably these two persons are imposters, therefore they suspect others to be like themselves. Om Agyanata Marandasya Agyangana Salakaya Chaksuro Milatamina Tasmaya Si Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manom Vistam Shapitam Inam Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gata Maya Andatati Swam Batantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So from the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, many things are revealed. Krishna's pastimes are very wonderful. So there are many things which we can understand from these pastimes. And of course, nobody has any idea of the spiritual world. In every religion, people are searching after that description of the kingdom of God. But Srimad Bhagavatam is giving a very clear description. It doesn't say maybe or perhaps or some angels are flying around with little wings or something like that. It is actually very scientific that the Vaikuntha, the word Vaikuntha means, Kunta means anxiety, so Vaikuntha means that place where there is no anxiety. So this is the first characteristic of the spiritual world, that there is no anxiety. And yet we see that here there is some anxiety. So this appears contradictory also. Because Krishna's lila, many times there is very difficult esoteric points to understand. So many things have been told. One is that one should be very, very careful how he deals with Vaishnavas. One must be extremely careful, because even if you're in the highest plane, as it's given here, even if you're in the Vaikuntha planets themselves, if you commit even the slightest offense against the devotee, you can fall down. Now, of course, one could say, well, the Jaya and Vijaya, they were not actually falling down, which is true, because they are residents of Vaikuntha. So there's no question of falling down. But at the same time, Krishna is showing by pastimes, by lila. Because when Krishna shows his pastimes, he reveals many things. And this very, very important thing is also there, that if one becomes arrogant, even the slightest type of pride is the thing which can even defeat you, even if you're a resident of the Vaikuntha world. So the gatekeepers, Jaya and Vijaya, of course, they were doing their job, but they were, by Krishna's yoga maya, they were actually disrespectful to the four Kumaras. Somehow or other, they did not recognize the position of the four Kumaras, because they were just four young little boys. They were wandering here and there, naked. So one sense we can understand they didn't look anything special, because four little children wandering here and there, there's nothing very special about that. But at the same time, so that's to show us that you can't tell a Vaishnav simply by looking. Many times people want to look at a Vaishnav and see, is a Vaishnav like this, is a Vaishnav like that. But simply by external dress, one cannot tell what is a Vaishnav, what is not a Vaishnav. But one can tell by the qualities. So, in one sense, the qualities of the Vaishnava, as it says here, about 79% of all the good qualities of the Lord develop in his person. So, one can tell by the qualities of the Vaishnava. So, the qualities of the four Kumaras were that they wanted to see Krishna. Their quality was that they wanted to have darshan of Krishna. So, therefore, they were without fault, and their intention was completely 100% pure. But at the same time, the Jaya and Vijay, they actually hindered their going into sea to have darshan of Lord Narayan. And therefore, because another thing that Prabhupada says in the previous purport, these four mendicant brothers, the Kumaras, were considered liberated persons. But still, they were angry because they were restricted in their service to the Lord. So, the difference between the anger of an ordinary person and that of a liberated person is that an ordinary person becomes angry because his sense desires are not fulfilled. Whereas a liberated person like the Kumaras becomes angry when restricted in the discharge of duties for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not that anger is not there. Many people think that anger is a very negative quality. But here it was not used in a negative way. So one should not see that the Kumaras becoming angry to be some fault. Actually, it is no fault. Because their intention was to render service to Lord Narayan, to have darshan of Lord Narayan. So they had come there for that purpose. So, therefore, their anger was perfect. And at the same time, we can understand that for most people, the idea that a devotee would become angry is very difficult to comprehend, because most people have the idea of spirituality that there should be no anger. And it's true that in the spiritual world, this quality of anger is not there. But at the same time, Krishna is also showing that sometimes a devotee, in the discharge of his devotional service, when he sees that his devotional service has been hindered by the some obstacle, then he may become angry. This is on account of his great attachment, just like sometimes Prabhupada also would become angry. He would become angry because he would see that there are imposters, or there are people who are posing as Vaishnavs, they're not a Vaishnav, or he would see that there are people who are trying to hinder Lord Chaitanya's movement. So sometimes the devotee, we see many times in the instance of the history of Vaishnavs, just like Parasaram, he became so angry he killed the Vaishnavs 21 times, he destroyed thousands and thousands of Kshatriyas, not Vaishnava. He destroyed thousands and thousands of Kshatriyas because of this anger that the Kshatriyas had, they had committed offenses against the Brahmanas. There's also many instances in the example of great acharyas becoming angry. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also became angry with the hypocritical Babajis and Radhakund, who were always absorbed in so-called Pranali city, but they were always chasing after women. And so he became angry with them for imposters. So also here the Kumaras, they're also becoming angry because they see some imposter. They see that maybe these people, these Jaya and Vijay, they are not actually, they got this idea that they're not actually properly qualified to be situated in the Vaikuntha planets. Because in the Vaikuntha, there is no animosity. There is no ill feeling. Vaishnavas, because as it says here, because they have the qualities of Krishna, all the good qualities of the Lord develop in them, so these qualities are fully manifested in the residents in the Vaikuntha world. So the Kumaras were, because they're great jnanis, they're great yogis, so they couldn't understand, they were somewhat bewildered why they're dealing with us like this, because the Jaya and Vijay, they hindered the Kumaras to go any further, as if to say that you're not qualified to come into the Vaikunthas. So they couldn't understand, because actually, being great philosophers, they could understand that no one can enter into the spiritual world, into the Vaikunthas, unless they're qualified. So therefore it appeared contradictory that how come Jaya and Vijay did not understand that we must be qualified, otherwise we wouldn't be there. You see, so they were particularly bewildered by this. So in their bewilderment, they concluded that Jaya and Vijay must be imposters. That they actually are not, they're the ones not qualified. Although actually Jaya and Vijay were thinking that the four Kumaras were not qualified. The four Kumaras were thinking that they're not qualified. So this is the nature of Krishna's yoga maya, mahamaya. It is always bewildering. Krishna's energies are bewildering, whether they're in the spiritual world or in the material world. In the spiritual world, the bewilderment is different, because in the spiritual world, the actual yoga maya is to enable Krishna to have transcendental lila with his devotees. So in that lila, many pastimes take place, just like Nanda is thinking, I'm the father of Krishna. How can a Krishna have a father? It's totally contradictory. God is Svarat. He is totally independent, abhigya. He is totally cognizant. He doesn't rely on anything for his existence. He is completely independent of everything. So how can God have a father? How can he have a mother? How can he have friends? To think that one is friend of God. How can you be friend of God unless you're God? You see? So in one sense, all of the energy of Krishna is bewildering. It is completely bewildering. The Vaikunthas are bewildering, the material world is bewildering, Goloka Vrindavan is bewildering, because they are all beyond conception. They are actually beyond our material understanding. Many great munis and sages, even the great sages, Tejo Varani Madam Yata, even this great sages and demigods, they are also placed into illusion by the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many things are there, even though the four Kumaras were great powerful sages, still they were somewhat bewildered as to why these two personalities were hindering their entrance into the Vaikunthas, because the four Kumaras, being completely perfected in mystic powers and yogic powers, they could go anywhere. They could go anywhere in the material or spiritual world. They had developed this quality, just like Devasa Muni. He also was able to go throughout the entire material and even into the spiritual plane. So therefore, they were amazed at being stopped by Jaya and Vijay, and of course they became angry. So they cursed Jaya and Vijay that you are actually not qualified to be here, you are imposters. So they cursed them that they would have to fall down from the spiritual world. Now, that also is a big discussion, because there's a whole discussion whether we can fall down from the spiritual world or not. And of course we won't go into that. But the point is that Srila Prabhupada did say that within Krishna's energy, you know, we have to understand, you see, many, many devotees, they say that Krishna's energy is inconceivable. But then they try to conceive of it. You see? So that's one of the also things which just on a practical plane I find very contradictory, because if you ask a devotee, well, what is the spiritual energy? And they say, oh, it's inconceivable. And then they will immediately give off so many things that to try and bring the spiritual energy into our, as Prabhupada said, our tiny cranium. Prabhupada used to say that you have a pea brain. What will you understand with your tiny pea brain? So the spiritual world is actually unlimited. It is completely unlimited. And therefore, within the spiritual world, there is inconceivable, achintya, shakti. Achintya, the word achintya means that which is not conceivable. And Prabhupada gives the example that even in the material world, we can't conceive. Just like our nails. Prabhupada said on one morning walk, he said, if you look at your nails, how they are coming. Nail is skin. But why skin is becoming nail? So therefore, just like hair, also, hair is coming out of the head. So we see that in the material body itself, there are many things about the material body which are very wonderful, very inconceivable. And if you study material energy, you will find that there are also many, many things which are inconceivable. That's why the Srimad Bhagavatam is comprised in 9 cantos. Not that we go to the 10th canto. Prabhupada specifically said that because if we go to the 10th canto, we will simply see material thing. Because we have not properly understood what is Krishna's energies. The 9 cantos are actually there to explain Krishna's energy. That's why in the beginning it begins by explaining the universal form, the different purushas, the different incarnations, the different types of planetary systems. Because if you don't understand Krishna's energy, then when you go to Vaikuntha, you will be bewildered. Many people, when they read the story, they become bewildered, because why is it that you can fall from Vaikuntha? They can't accept that, because it says, in one sense, Krishna says, once having gone there, you will never fall down. But here is an instance of someone falling down from Vaikuntha. Isn't it? Isn't that what it is? Or is it not? Are they not in Vaikuntha or they are in Vaikuntha? Is it?
They're in Vaikuntha.
They're in Vaikuntha, exactly.
You were arguing the other day, we were talking in the class, because they are the gatekeepers, yeah. They're not in Vaikuntha. Isn't that what you were arguing the
other day? No, that is because Srila Prabhupada said himself, he said yes. Practical example, Jaya and Vijay, they fell from Vaikuntha. You see, practical example. And actually, there is even example of devotees falling from Vrindavan. Because if you read the story of Tulsi Devi, you know that story of Tulsi Devi? Then what is that Leela? You know the Leela? So where did that begin? It began in Vrindavan. So the point is that there are many things which are very, very inconceivable about the spiritual world. Spiritual world is not there to be entertaining to us. You see, this is the nature of mental speculation, that everybody wants to bring everything into their servitude. We want to bring everything into our service. Actually, our nature is to inspect everything. We want to inspect everything. We want everything to be inspected by us. Even though we have a tendency to commit mistakes, even though we have a tendency to be illusioned, even though we have a tendency to cheat, and even though we have imperfect senses, still, we, because we are so important, we want everything to be inspected by us. Just like when in the material world, when a boy is looking for a girl, he's inspecting her, isn't it? That's what we call lusty activities, to inspect, to see, is this going to satisfy my senses? And then, when we come to anything, just like someone is, when they go to buy a car, they're inspecting the car. Will this satisfy my senses? When you're selling someone something, they want to inspect it, isn't it? If you're selling them a computer or a tape recorder, what's the first thing you do? You inspect it, isn't it? You want to see whether it's qualified to serve you, isn't it? Can this thing satisfy me nicely? So no one goes and picks up a 90-year-old woman for sense gratification because she doesn't fit into his inspection. They go for a young girl, isn't it? You want a young girl because you want that she should be pretty, she should have a nice body, she should have this, she should be that. If you go for an old body, it might be haggard and wrinkly and smelly. So what do you want that for? You don't want that. It's not going to please your nose, it's not going to please your eyes. Isn't it? So we don't want something that might not fit up to our sensory perceptions. You see, this is the whole business of the living entity. We want to inspect everything. So therefore, we want to inspect Krishna. We want to inspect Krishna. Krishna, you show me what's going on. What are you up to there in Vrindavan? I want to see. Isn't it? I want to see. What are you doing there? Is it up? Does it fit into my authorization? Are you authorized to do that? You see? Is that what God is? Is that what God should be doing? So therefore Krishna, he kicks them in the face. Because when he comes to the material world, avajananti ma mudha, Krishna says, they will never understand me, these fools. So therefore he is enjoying so many illicit pastimes. By their estimation, they say, oh, what is this? God has 16,108 wives. He is running in the forest. He is enjoying with the hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis, goddess of fortune, gopis. What is going on here? This is not God. God should be more, behave himself. He has to behave himself. Otherwise, I'll become angry. So therefore, we want to always bring God into our inspection. You see? So therefore, with these pastimes, we should understand this is Krishna showing us that there are many wonderful things that we cannot understand. The Vaikuntha Loka, we can never understand. We can't even understand this one particular planet. We don't even know anything of what's going on in the ocean. What do we know what's going on in the ocean? We go down there, just like a good example is the ocean, because you can't stay there very long. So at most you can put on some apparatus, you can put on some air and put on a special coat. Like a diving suit, and you can go down. And then if you see those dive, they have little goggles, they're trying. But if you look, whenever you see, you're only seeing one quarter of the whole thing. Even when you look at something, you're only seeing one quarter, isn't it? When you're looking at now, what are you seeing? You're seeing one quarter of the whole thing. You're not seeing the whole thing. You haven't got 360 degree eyesight, have you? So therefore, you're never actually able to see properly anything. But if you go into the water, how much will you understand what is going on in the water? How many types of fishes are there? What is their pastimes? What's going on? What's the pastimes of the ocean? Who knows what the pastimes of the ocean are? We only know by what we've heard from people who may have seen something. But actually the ocean, in the ocean it says that there's mountains even bigger than the Himalayas. Have we seen that? Does that mean they don't exist? You see, according to scientists, there are mountains which are more than even 35,000 feet high, they don't say so much bigger ranges than the Himalayas, but there are very, very big mountains in the ocean, but we haven't seen them. Does that mean they don't exist? No, it means that they're not within our experiencing jurisdiction. They're not within our experience, our inspection. We haven't inspected them. So therefore, because we haven't inspected them, it doesn't mean they don't exist. Similarly with the spiritual world, we have to understand the spiritual world by hearing, not by seeing. We can't see the spiritual world. We can't see what's going on. But we can understand that the spiritual world is acting according to the direction, as Krishna says, even in the Bhagavad Gita, that this material energy, maya dakshina prakriti suyate chacharacharam itunanena kuntaya jagat viparivartate, that even this material nature, all of this animate, inanimate energy, it is working under my direction. So therefore the spiritual world must be obviously working under Krishna's direction. So therefore, anything can happen in the spiritual world that Krishna wants to happen, isn't it? Therefore, it's called achintya. It's inconceivable. Because God is inconceivable, therefore His energies must also be inconceivable. How can you have an inconceivable God with conceivable energies? Isn't it? That's a contradiction in terms. You can't have an inconceivable God and then be able to conceive his energies. You know, even if you know in this world, even a big man, suppose I want to ascertain Rockefeller, what is he? I don't know how much money he's got, I don't know how many cars he's got, I don't even know how many wives he's got or girlfriends, I don't know where he goes for his entertainment. I don't know anything about Mr. Rockefeller. And even he is only a tiny, insignificant living entity. So if I don't even understand Mr. Rockefeller, how can I understand God? How can I understand? So therefore, we should be very careful, because many people, by the nature of pride, they like to think that they understand God's energy. But Prabhupada gave that example even of Mr. Newton. He declared that I have only picked up a few grains of sand of knowledge. Just like if you go to the beach, there's so much sand on the beach. But if you only pick up a few grains of sand, so therefore, the real devotee, he is not proud of his mundane, of his so-called knowledge. We're not there to inspect Krishna, that we want to understand. What do we know of the Vaikuntha world? What do we know? We know nothing. All we know is what we can hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. But the fact that the great acharyas may say that the living entities, just like Prabhupada used the phrase, going back to home, back to Godhead, we have to understand these things from the great acharyas. But not that we become very much, what do you call it, proud that of our understanding, because even great acharyas have actually agreed that to understand the spiritual world is inconceivable, to understand the different shaktis. They're called the chintya. Chintya means inconceivable shaktis. And therefore, this particular cursing of Jaya Vijay, it is achintya, it is inconceivable. Because in many ways it is contradictory. You can't fall down from the spiritual world, but yet Jaya Vijay did come down from the spiritual world. They came down because Krishna wanted them to come down. That is the point. The whole point to understand Krishna's energy is to understand Krishna. Because without understanding Krishna, you can't understand his energy. Just like if you want to understand sunshine, you need to understand the sun, isn't it? But that's a very, very tiny amount of knowledge of what the sun planet is. So therefore, if you can use that example in relation to something so mundane as the sun, then what is the example of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How can you ascertain God by simply studying a little bit of his energy? Just like we are seeing the material energy, just like this body. This body is made up of skin and bone and so many other things. It's actually, if you look at the material body, it is made up of completely inferior substances, disgusting substances, but very, very attractive. So attractive that people are ready to kill, to murder, to do whatever, just like a man, he loves a woman, he goes out and kills another man, or he fights a war, or whatever. So even though that energy is so disgusting, so horrible, so vile, but it is also so attractive. So this is called achintya, this is inconceivable. How can you have something like skin and bone, stool, urine, pus, mucus, bile and air, be attractive? How are you going to make it attractive? If I bring you a bag of skin and a bag of bones and a bag of veins and a bag of urine and pus and stool, how are you going to make it attractive? Isn't it? You're going to make it attractive only if God wants it to be attractive. You see, because Krishna wants the material energy by his Maha Maya. Mama Maya Dharateya, Devi Yeshugunamayi, Mama Maya Dharateya, that this material energy, this Devi Maya, my material energy, it is very, very powerful. Mama Maya Dharateya, very, very powerful. There's a Tejo Varna Madamita, that it bewilders even great sages and demigods are bewildered by this energy. Even great sages are bewildered. So if we're bewildered by the material energy, then how much more bewildering must the spiritual energy be? You understand? If this is, Krishna says, this is my inferior energy. My inferior energy. So what to speak of my spiritual energy? So therefore, we should understand that these are the lila, these are the pastimes of Krishna. They're not to be dissected or inspected by us. It is not that we study these pastimes in such a way, oh, let me try and understand this. Because you can't understand it, because it is actually, this is the pastime of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada explains that because Krishna wanted to have pastime, because Krishna likes to fight. He gets a little, sometimes you see Krishna like anyone. Just like everyone actually likes to have a little bit of a fight, isn't it? This is the nature of the material world. If you go around everywhere, the one thing you find everyone is doing is fighting, isn't it? Have you noticed everyone fighting? Even Vaishnavas are fighting each other, what to speak of Kamis. Dogs are fighting each other, cats fight each other, pigeons fight each other, crows fight each other. You tell me anything, fishes, they fight each other. Tell me anything that doesn't fight, isn't it? So that quality of fighting is also in God. That's why we have that quality. We have the quality to fight because it's there in God. He likes to fight. So therefore, he wanted to have someone to fight with. Now because Krishna, he only fights with his devotees. He doesn't associate with non-devotees. He has no business with non-devotees. He only has business with his devotees. So he wanted to fight with his devotees. And he chose to fight with Jai and Vijay, because they are very great devotees. So basically, Krishna was thinking that I want to fight, now is my time to fight. So therefore he created this pastime where the Kumaras came to the spiritual world. And you see, the problem is like this, if you study it. How does, if Krishna wants to fight his devotees, and his devotees are all in Vaikuntha, then his pure devotees are all in Vaikuntha, so how does he get them out of Vaikuntha? You see? He can't actually, technically speaking, because they're there in Vaikuntha, Krishna can't fight them in Vaikuntha, because there's no fighting in Vaikuntha. Because the word Vaikuntha means free from any anxiety or quarrel or any, actually the nature of the spiritual world, that is, there is kavaida, is complete oneness of interest. So to fight there needs to be diversity of interest, isn't it? Just like if I want to have some money and you've got the money, then we may quarrel. If I want to have your car and you've got a car, we may quarrel. If you study all the quarrels in the material world, it's because of two separate interests. You have your interest, I have my interest, and therefore there's some clash. In the spiritual world, this is impossible. There is no separate interest. Absolutely no separate interest from Krishna. Everyone in the spiritual world wants to please Krishna. So therefore there's no conflict of interest. So therefore, in order for Krishna to enjoy this particular pastime of fighting, then he created this pastime of the Kumaras coming to the spiritual world. So that when Krishna was coming into the material world, of course he wanted to fight, so he fought with Hiranyaksha, and he also fought with Hiranyakashipu. In the boar incarnation, the Lord came as a boar. Because also, Krishna appears in all the different species. So, you see, if you actually study it very carefully, you'll find that Krishna, he appears in the various types of species. Because these are also lila. When we come to the material world, we take different species because of we are condemned by material energy. Just like you've got a human body, not because you want it, because that's your karma to get a human body. In your next lifetime you may get a hog body. So if you get a hog body, that's not the same as Krishna getting a hog body. Because when Krishna takes the form as a boar, it is not zoomorphic. It has nothing to do with the material world. It is completely a spiritual form. So therefore all of these different species, they are also enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the meaning that Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. Krishna enjoys everything. He even enjoys in the material world. It is not that Krishna only enjoys in the spiritual world. Actually, the material world is also there completely for Krishna's enjoyment. You see? So therefore, when Krishna comes to the material world, he has no other business than to enjoy. So when he comes, he likes to have a fight. So therefore, generally, with Krishna's incarnations, there's always some fighting. We see that Varaha, he fought Aranyaksha, Narsingadev, he fought Aranyakashipu. You see in his incarnation, when the Lord comes as Krishna and Balaram, they also fight Jarasandha, Kamsa, Sisupala. So he likes to fight because this nature of the Lord is that he also enjoys the challenge of fighting. Just like when he was fighting with Hiranyaksha. Because one of the reasons Prabhupada explains that Krishna fights with his devotees is because the karmis are not powerful enough. They're too wimpy. If Krishna wants to kill a few karmis, he just drops a few bombs, gets rid of all of them. So there's no power there. They don't have any shakti. So what would be the use of Krishna fighting these karmis? It's a bit boring. But when he fights his devotees, because his devotees are very, very powerful, therefore, when Jaya and Vijay took forms in the material world, all of those forms were very powerful. Hiranyaksha, very, very powerful. Hiranyakashipu, even if his eyelids moved, the demigods were shaking. You see? So this is the nature of the Lord's devotees. Because Krishna is very powerful, his devotees are also very powerful. So therefore, when Krishna comes into the material world to fight with his devotees, then it's a very powerful exhibition. And we see that in the case of the Lord's devotees, fighting with Krishna, these are the pastimes that are contained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these pastimes are very wonderful. And these are, just like Prabhupada says, when Krishna wants to scratch his back, then you need the biggest mountain in the universe to scratch Krishna's back. You see, if we want to scratch our back, we can get a little stick or something. So all of these things are incomprehensible to the mundane mind. Therefore, people, they tend to write these things off as mythological. They tend to see that this is all mythological. How can God come to the material world? How can he assume these fantastic forms? How can he engage in these kind of battles? So all of these things, they are very, very difficult to understand because the living entity is very tiny, very limited. So his pastimes are very, very limited. Just like if we want to fight, generally we have little fisticuffs or something, we get a broken nose and we go crying to the hospital. Something pathetic, isn't it? When people fight, it's something pathetic. It's not very wonderful. Unless you get millions of soldiers or thousands of soldiers together, then something spectacular can happen. Like you can find that in big world wars, there's big battles. And something, that's why people like to, why do they like to read about these battles? Because something amazing happened, isn't it? You don't read about people punching each other or something like that. What you want to do is everybody wants to see something amazing. Because the nature of the living entity is that he is part and parcel of the most amazing. We are actually part and parcel of the supreme amazing. Therefore, we're always looking for something amazing. It's natural attraction. Just like if you see wealth, you want to see amazing wealth, isn't it? You don't just want to see ordinary wealth. You want to see amazing wealth. If you see beauty, you want to see amazing beauty, isn't it? You want to see amazing, if you see strength, you want to see amazing strength. That's why we're attracted. We're attracted because by nature the living entity is eternally attracted to Krishna. And therefore Krishna's pastimes are all amazing. They are chintya. And therefore when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can enter into these amazing pastimes of God. But we should be free from the tendency of speculation, or the tendency to commit mistakes, or to cheat, or the limitation of senses. So therefore, this knowledge is transcendental knowledge. It is not knowledge to be conceived by our mundane senses. It is not something that we can ascertain by our mundane speculation. So we should be very, very careful not to speculate about the transcendental. Even in the material world, speculation is dangerous, isn't it? If you speculate, even in the material world, it's very dangerous. Because sometimes in the material world, you think, oh, this is a nice guy, and you find out he's not a nice guy. or you think that this is a good situation that I'm in, and then you find out it's not a good situation you're in. So, in many, many instances in the material world, we can understand that speculation is very, very dangerous, very, very dangerous. So also, when we hear about the spiritual world, we should be very careful not to speculate, because everyone has this tendency to try to bring Krishna into our inspecting jurisdiction. But the meaning, Advaita Achyutam Anadam Ananta Rupa, the Lord is Advaita Achyuta. Achyuta means incomprehensible, beyond human conception, beyond human description, beyond any kind of limited perception. So therefore, it is very important, that's why it's very extremely important that we study very, very carefully the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam before we go to the 10th canto. Because if you go to the 10th canto, if you try to enter into Krishna's confidential lila in the spiritual world, then there will be a tendency to also bring that within the mundane. Just like the frog in the well. Prabhupada always used that example of the frog in the well, because the frog is contained within the well. So everything he knows about has to be related to his well. You see, if you were born in a well, just look at it practically. If you were born in a well, you grew up in a well, you got old in a well, what are you going to know outside of the well? Look at it logically. What are you going to know? You're only going to know whatever comes into the well, isn't it? So similarly, that's why we use the word information, isn't it? In. Why do we use the word information? That thing which comes in and formates. It formates within your mind. That's why it's called information. Not outformation, isn't it? It's not outformation, it's information. That knowledge which is coming from what outside to the inside and then is formulated in your tiny pea brain. And then you make an assertion. This is this, that is that, this is this, that is that. So therefore, if your source of information is imperfect, then that means that your formation, your formulation, and your conception will be imperfect. So that's why God can only be understood by hearing. Shabda Brahma. He is by hearing. Therefore Krishna says, Tadvidi paripatena paripashena sevaya. Paripashena means that you should become like a blackboard. You should become completely devoid of mental speculation. Without any tinge, ahaitaki apratiyata, without any motivation, without any interruption. Interruption means to try to relate it to the mundane. That if you want to actually understand the Supreme Personality of God, then we have to go in the descending process, not in the ascending. You cannot bring the limited to the unlimited. You can only have, if the unlimited wishes to reveal himself within the limited, then there's possibility. Not that you can approach the unlimited with your tiny mundane mind. So therefore, if we study the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll see that with this pastime of Jayam Vijay, actually Jayam Vijay, because they came into the material world to have pastimes of Krishna, therefore technically they didn't fall down. Because actually Krishna gave them a choice that you could have 7 lives as my devotees or 3 lives as my enemy. But they were always thinking of Vishnu. They were always thinking of Krishna. So therefore, these are all inconceivable pastimes. Of course, they're very, very esoteric, very, very difficult to understand. But one should not misunderstand also. Therefore, we should only receive the knowledge from the acharyas, as Srila Prabhupada says, that these pastimes are inconceivable. Anything to do with the Lord must be inconceivable. So his pastimes are also inconceivable. So as I say, that the Kumaras, they cursed Jayam Vijay because they became angry. And because of that, Jayam Vijay were put into a very difficult situation. So therefore, from that we should also learn that one should be very, very careful with dealing with Vaishnavas. Because if one commits offense against Sadhu-Ninda, if one commits offense against the Sadhus, the Vaishnavas, then his spiritual life can actually be very seriously hampered. And we see nowadays that it's become fashion for Vaishnavas to criticize Vaishnavas or fight with Vaishnavas. This is very, very a dangerous activity, because one of the things to be ascertained from this pastime is that even if one is there in the shelter of Lord Narayan in the Vaikuntha, if he commits offense against Vaishnava, then he becomes in a very, very dangerous position. So much dangerous that Jayan Vijay had to take birth as demons. So therefore, we should be very, very careful. We should avoid criticizing Vaishnavas or getting involved with any kind of offenses against Vaishnavas. So a devotee should be very humble and try to avoid criticism of other devotees, because it is very, very dangerous to a spiritual life. And that is why this pastime is very important for devotees to understand that even if you are in the highest realm of spirituality, if you commit some offense against the devotees, then Krishna cannot tolerate. Just like the offense against Jayan Vijay, Lord Narayan could not tolerate. He actually had to punish. Although technically we can understand, again getting back to this point, that they were this is all pastimes, but at least we should understand from these pastimes certain things. So, is there any questions at all? Anyone have any questions?
Just wondering, you said that Krishna only fights with his devotees. I just wondered, you know, the other demons that went to Vrindavan, Bakasura, Pralambasura, Putana, were they devotees as well? Or?
Generally speaking, you see, Krishna also says that I come to annihilate the miscreants, to establish my devotees. So, Prabhupada used this point when he was speaking about, you see, Krishna, he has many different things that he does. Now, when he came to the material world, he killed millions of demons, not just Bakasura or Banasura, millions. So, they weren't all pure devotees. But at the same time, there are pastimes, there are different leelas that Krishna comes, but particularly this fighting pastime. I know that, when I was quoting that, I was quoting Srila Prabhupada, because he said that Krishna likes to fight with his devotees. And as I said, that he likes to have a powerful fight, because he's God. He doesn't come down and just do a little boxing and go back to the spiritual world. So therefore, when he fights these demons like the big demons like Aranyaksha, Aranyakash, they are very, very big demons. Some of the Vrindavan demons, they're not maybe as big. But what is their relationship with Krishna? The Vrindavan demons, they also got liberation. But whether they were all pure, you know, devotees, I don't know individually each one's particular relationship with Krishna, but
in this case of demons in Vrindavan, Krishna didn't fight with them, he just killed them.
Right.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
He's fighting.
Yeah.
But still they came in touch with Krishna. I mean, they must have been quite special, I mean, to contact Krishna. I mean, it's not ordinary, is it, like that?
That's when person is very demoniac.
I heard about Putana, that she was Bali Maharaj's sister.
Yeah. The thing is, there are pastimes behind the demons, but the thing is, Prabhupada said, if you want to get in touch with Krishna, you either become a very great devotee or become a very great demon. The two things you can become. So if you're having trouble becoming a devotee, you can try and become a big demon. Because one way or other, you'll get in touch with Krishna. If you're a very big demon, then Krishna comes. But you can see with Krishna, generally, he just wipes them out like flies, these demons. There's not much. But with Aranyaksha, then he had big, big fight. And also you see, even when he fought with Dravida, the gorilla. He's also a great devotee. So he fought. But it's also, you know, that sort of question, I mean, I don't know. I couldn't answer every single demon who fights with Krishna. What is his particular relationship with Krishna? Because, as you say, with Putana, there's many pastimes behind each demon. What exactly they are, or what is their... I think that would have to be researched. I mean, some of them definitely have an ongoing relationship from other pastimes.
Because he kills them in every universe he's going around, isn't he, doing his pastimes? Then demons exist in the other universes as well.
Yeah, they're the pastimes are there. So, as I say, I wouldn't comment exactly what their relationship is with Krishna, but it would definitely be special. But there's also other demons that Krishna just gets rid of them because they're a problem, just to sort of clear up the mess in the material world, so he gets rid of them. As he says, I come to annihilate the miscreants. So they're miscreants. But Krishna doesn't need to. Actually, we also understand that Krishna, his only pastimes are in Vrindavan. So his killing pastimes are done by Vasudev. So therefore, it's an expansion of Krishna. Krishna has no business with these demons at all. That's another whole discussion also. Because that killing aspect of Krishna, it is done through his expansion. Expansions of Krishna. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Aparanam Ki Jaya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.